Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
Would you open God's book, please, to Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin our reading in verse 13. And you may have an outline of the sermon if you turn to that passage, and you can follow it throughout the whole sermon. What I want to do tonight is to give the church some encouragement about this upcoming work week. I like to do that on Sunday nights. I think about the challenges of the week, the joys of the week, the kinds of things that you're facing. Some of you have very busy weeks planned. Probably most of you have a busy week planned. I want us to think about how great it is to be a Christian and how we can let the light of Christ Jesus shine through us. Would it be all right to say, I don't care what people think about me? Well, that completely depends on the circumstance under which you might say it. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, Peter writes and says, they think it strange. He's talking about the people I used to run with before I was a Christian, the people from my sinful past. He says, now that you're a Christian, they think it's strange that you run not to the same excess of riot with them. And they speak against you. And the idea is, they don't get it. And they are going to mock me because I don't live like that anymore. I repented from that sinful life. But they don't get it. They think I'm strange. You know what? It's okay with me for a person under that circumstance, Christian, to say, I really don't care about that. I can't care about that. Now, they'll have to live their own lives, and if I can help them, I will. But I cannot let that influence me to go back to that kind of living. I won't go back to living like that. I don't care what they think about me. I'm still going to do right. However, under other circumstances, of course we care what people think about us. And in our text tonight, Jesus says, this is the Sermon on the Mount. You're the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, it's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There's a sense, of course, in which Christians are very concerned about what people think about them because we are the light or are reflective of the light of Jesus Christ. Now, for the next few minutes, what I want to do, not very complicated, but I want to take these verses just a little bit at a time and let's talk about them. Let's take them apart and talk about them. He says, you are the light of the world. Now, that's very interesting to me, and I think it's powerful because of who he's talking to. Who is he? Who is he speaking to when he makes this statement? You are the light of the world. It's Northern Galilee. This is by the Sea of Galilee. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking to the disciples. I mean, he's not talking to the intelligentsia of Athens. He's not talking about or talking to the military prowess of Rome. He's talking to common people. He's talking to the fisher folk of Galilee. Plain plain people like you and me. And to these folks he says, you are the light of the world. Now that attaches a great deal of importance to what they're doing. It's very interesting to me that in the world we have gained so much intelligence, but not more wisdom. I mean, you think about how technology has changed over the last 75 years. The kind of technology that we take for granted today are things which came out of science fiction 75 years ago. I have a cell phone in my pocket, a flip phone. You know how much that looks like? Beam me up, Scotty. Isn't that something? And I turned it down so that it wouldn't. But you know, I was driving the other day in my car and this thing rang and it was one of our preachers in Ukraine. And while driving my car, I talked to this guy in Ukraine. Is that remarkable? You want some music? You know, we have iPods or we have CDs. We have DVDs. You think about the kinds of things that we just take for granted now that are just remarkable. But what the world has given us is technology, but not wisdom. Isn't it very interesting that it's to these people, the common people, the people who were disciples of Jesus, and he pointed to them and said, you the ones who are the light. You're the light of the world. What difference does it make if we're smarter but we go to hell? What's the difference? Romans chapter 1, verse 21, because they knew not God, neither they glorify Him not as God, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Watch it now. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. In 1 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and about verse 20 and 21, Paul says, who's the wise? Who's the scribe? Who's the disputer of this world? God's made the foolish of this world wise. And you say, wait a minute. You mean to say that Christians are foolish? No, you've got it in context. In the context, the point is that Christians are viewed as being foolish. The world views Christians as being foolish because the requirements and restraints they follow from Jesus Christ. And the world views itself as much, much smarter, much brighter, much more intelligent about how to live life. And yet it's not to these people that Jesus pointed and said, you're the light. He didn't point to the educational level leaders of the time and say, you're the light of the world, nor to the financiers, nor to the scientists. They had all of those. But Jesus didn't point to them and say, you're the light of the world. He pointed to these common people who were disciples of Jesus Christ. And so the point is that today, I want you to remember, Christians, that if there's a heaven above us, and there is, and if the Bible is from God and God is in His heaven, and He is and it is from Him, and if Jesus Christ really died on that cross, and if Jesus Christ and His cross is the only way by which mankind can go to heaven, and if Christians are the only ones that are obeying the gospel and following Jesus Christ, then let me tell you something. And all those things are true. We are the light of the world. The world's made people smarter, but not wiser. All right. Jesus said, you are the light. And then He gives us some descriptions about this light. He says, now you don't take light and put it under a bushel. I really like that. Because we need that. We need that lesson. The light represents the distinctiveness of my Christian walk with which I help other people to see Christ living in me. But putting it under a bushel doesn't make any sense. Now, when my children were growing up, sometimes I'd walk through the house. Now, you want to know how to give a daddy the heebie-jeebies? I mean, I don't know any man that this doesn't just really bother. You go through the house and there's a closet and the closet door is closed. And Lewis, you look at the bottom of the door and the light is on in that closet. Now, it's not because somebody's in there praying. It's not that. It's that somebody turned the light on, got what they needed, and closed the door. And that's a waste. And then you give the dad the heebie-jeebies. He has to say things about the power bill and why are we wasting all of that. You know, it doesn't make any sense. And the same thing with a candle. You don't light a candle and then put it under a bushel because it doesn't make any sense. The application would be that in my Christian life, God didn't save me to cover up my faith. He saved me to shine, you see. And so, what am I doing right? I mean, am I ever ashamed of my Lord? I don't mean that He's teaching us to get in people's faces with the gospel, but I can't be ashamed of Him. Are there things that I won't do because I'm ashamed to be or embarrassed to let people know I'm a Christian? How long do you reckon a person ought to be able to work in a particular job before the people who work immediately around him know that he's a Christian? Am I embarrassed to carry my New Testament? When I sit down to eat and there are people around me that I don't even know, am I embarrassed to give thanks before I eat? I don't mean to make a show of it. I just mean to humbly bow my head and quietly pray to my God. Am I embarrassed to do that? We'd better not be. Let me tell you something. The homosexual movement in our country shouts their perversion in parades. It doesn't make any sense that what Christians do, that we would do in an embarrassed way and that we would put our candle under a bushel, does it? It doesn't make any sense. Now, here's the power. Here's the courage. He says, you don't put a light, a candle, under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. This is courage. This is the way that it is, that we let our light shine. I like to think about this, and your response to that might be, well, you know, that's really very good, and I can appreciate the value of it, but you don't know where I work. I live and work. I mean, every day I go to work, and I'm among pagans. I mean, you can't imagine the kinds of ungodly things they bring to work, that they say at work, that they do around me. And I tell you what, if I could just leave that, what I'd like to do is just work around Christians. If I could just only work around Christians. And what I'm about to say, I want you to know that I recognize the fact, folks, that there are some jobs that a Christian does need to leave. Because sometimes what's required of me in my job is that which is contrary to the will of Christ. I understand that. I'm not talking about that. But if you're working around worldly people, I want you to think about this. There's a reason why God put Christians in the world. It's to let the light shine. And in darkness is where the light, of course, shines the best. And he says you don't put it under a candle, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all that are in the house. In Titus chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, Paul says, now, Titus, I put you in Crete. And he said, there's a number of things. Here's the reason why I did it. And one of them is, I want you to sit and order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every church. I put you there. But then in about verse 12, 13, 14 right there, Paul says, now, I know how the Cretans are, where I put you. I know how they are. Even their own prophets will say Cretans are liars and they're slow bellies and they're evil beasts. Paul, why are you putting Titus in Crete if it's like that? Well, you think about the kind of light you'll be able to shine in a place like that. In John chapter 17 and verse 15, when Jesus was praying not long before the crucifixion, he prayed this. And I thought about it so many times. He said, I pray not, Father, that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. See, the boat's got to be in the water. The trick is to keep the water out of the boat. Well, we've got to be among the world. We just can't be worldly. At my house, in the living room, we have this brass thing hanging from the ceiling, sort of a candelabra thing, and it has these little bulbs that look like candles burning. Not really, but that's how they're shaped. And it's okay with me. That's okay with me. But the other day, I had to fix part of the floor under the house where the washing machine sits. The floor had gotten wet at some point, and so the floor needed to be worked on underneath there. And there is, we have a crawl space under the house, and there's this little door that you can go through. You can't, of course, walk through it. You crawl through it. And if you ever do this at my house, there's a light switch just to the right. You look in there and there's all these awful things, most of which are in your imagination, but there are some discarded snake skins in there. That really makes you wonder. And you know, there are spiders and stuff. Anyway, I'm about to go in there, but I reach my hand in first and turn that light on. And then there are three or four just naked light bulbs hanging underneath the house there. And I crawled up under there to do that work. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm really grateful for those lights in that dark, snaky spider place. I like the one in the living room. That's okay with me. But if you want to make my heart sing, give me those lights under the house. Right? Because that's where it really shines. Now, can we not make a comparison from Matthew chapter 5 and what Jesus is saying here? He says, you don't put your light, you don't light something and put it under a bushel, but you put it on a candlestick. And there's the courageous life. And I want to talk about our teenagers for just a minute. You know, some of our teenagers face such difficult challenges. It's been a long time since I was a teenager, but I know how it was then. And they hear and see some of the worst that the world can throw at a person. And I'm so thankful for them when they stand for what's right to say, to peers, I won't listen to the music that you listen to. I won't do that. That's stuff which is contrary to my faith. And I'm not going to go to the movies that you go to because that's contrary to my Christian faith. I'm not going to the same concerts that you go to. I'm not going to do the same things with my boyfriend or girlfriend that are contrary to my faith because I've decided to be a Christian. Now let me tell you, that's putting your life where people can see it. That's letting that light shine. All right. And then he says, a city set upon a hill cannot be hid. What is that? Now, what kind of application can we make to that? That's the church. You see, it's great to have one candle burning, but what if you have 400 burning? You know, the influence can be so great in a city like ours. And surely that's the point of that. All right, here's the instruction then. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let. Isn't that an interesting word? It doesn't depict the idea of forcing this. And you know, of course, we could take the gospel in such a way that we take a bright spotlight and shine it in people's eyes and they cringe back from it. But what he's depicting here is to let your light so shine. And the idea is that I'm living a Christian life and I'm a full-blooded Christian. I'm not ashamed of who I am. And if you're around me very long, you're going to see evidence of the fact that I'm a Christian. And we let our light shine before men. People can tell by the way that we live that we're Christians, by the kind of language that we use, the kind of things that we like to talk about, and the kinds of things that we won't talk about. And we let our light shine before men. One little boy said, "Daddy, how tall am I?" His dad said, "Oh, I guess you're about 4 feet." He said, "How tall is Jesus?" "Well, I guess he's about 6 feet tall when he was here." The boy said, "Well, I guess if he's in me, then he's going to be sticking out, isn't he?" In Acts chapter 6, Stephen, this is now in 7, you know, is when Stephen was stoned for his faith. But in chapter 6, you get to the bottom of the chapter, and the persecution is intense. And the Bible says that the people who were watching Stephen noticed that his face shone like an angel. Isn't that interesting? Now, there's nothing miraculous. There's nothing in the text that makes that appear to be miraculous. But, and I don't think that Stephen probably went to face shining school to try to show his face. I think that this was just a natural thing. And when you read commentaries about it, it appears that the Greek word just means that they observed that he had a peaceful face, that he was contented and pleasant even under that kind of persecution. He had the shining face, or a face shining as an angel. What's that? Let your light so shine before men. Let it shine. Now the word shine here indicates a burning. I mean, you can't shine without burning. And in John 5 and verse 35, the Bible speaks of John the Baptist and says that he was a burning and shining light. And by that I mean this. Here's the sacrifice for what I do as a Christian in my day in, day out life. There's a consumption of me. And the old timers used to pray, "Lord, you use us up in thy service. Use us up. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven." And what you have there, of course, is a sanctification. It sanctified means to set apart for holy purposes. In Galatians 2:20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by my faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I'm a Christian through and through. I turn loose with both hands and I'm just a Christian. In John 17, Jesus prayed in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now listen to me, Christians. Listen to me, because this is the point of the lesson. Jesus didn't say to the intelligentsia of the world, nor to the educators, nor to the musicians, nor to the physicians, nor to the scientists, he didn't say to them, "You're the light of the world," even though they're the ones who brought about all this knowledge and technology in the world. He didn't say, "You're the light." He pointed to common people who were following Jesus Christ, common people who were following the only one who could save us from our sins. And to them, Jesus says, "You're the light of the world." Now look, you and I then are the light of the world today. I've got to view my Christianity that way and not hide my candle under a bushel. So we say to science, can you save me? And science says, I can tell you how far it is from the earth to the sun, but I can't tell you how to wash sins from your soul. We say to man's philosophy, can you save me? And man's philosophy says, I can tell you more and more about less and less. I can tell you everything about not very much, but I can't tell you how to have forgiveness from your sins. We say to secular education, can you save me? And it says, no, I can't save you. I can make you smart, but I can't make you wise. We say to culture, can you save me? And culture says, I can't save you. I can just give you a better place to go to hell from. And we say to Jesus Christ, can you save me? And He says, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek, I'm lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Acts 4 and verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And for those of us who believe it, and those of us who follow Him through His New Testament, there's this wonderful reality. Well, it's not my importance, it's His importance, but we reflect His life. The wonderful reality is when it comes right down to it and you talk about dying and going to heaven or hell, and after all, isn't that the ultimate reality? When it comes right down to it, Christians, we're the light of the world. We're the light of the world. So as we approach this week, and whatever you plan to do, all the work, the things that you have to accomplish, would you just remember? We can't hide that candle under a bushel. He didn't save us to hide that light. He saved us to shine that light. Let's be His children. Never be ashamed of Him, but always to love Him and not care who knows it. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who wants to become a Christian. We'd be happy to baptize you into Christ. You can repent of your sins and confess His sweet name, and you can start your Christian walk right now. There may be someone here who needs to be restored, and we'll be happy to pray with you tonight. So happy to have you back. And maybe there's someone here who has struggles in his life and needs the prayers of the Christians. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Is there someone here tonight who wants to respond? If so, come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.